Remember what God spoke out loud from heaven? This is my beloved son. Listen to him. He's telling you what I'm saying. He is the exact, complete expression of God. That's what he's telling them. He's not saying this is exactly what he looks like. He's saying this is exactly what the Father says. This is exactly how the Father feels. This is exactly what the Father does.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. Jesus claims, again, to be God in human flesh as our study of John continues in chapter 14, verse 7. Here's Pastor Bob.
Jesus says he's leaving. He's going to be arrested tonight. They're still not understanding that, but he's leaving. He's going home to the Father's house. They don't understand it. They don't know where it is. They don't quite, it's just not making sense to them. He's talking about dying, rising again, and going to heaven. They think he's going somewhere on the earth. They don't know what he's talking about. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many homes, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And since I go, or if I go, same word, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He promised to go to the Father's house and prepare a place for each and every Christian. And when it's ready, he'll come back and get us and take us home to the Father's house. We learned in those verses, we learned that that's where our home is. You may have a home down here. That's temporary. I'm sure it's nice. And it's yours. God bless you. But it's temporary. Some people don't have homes. They have little tents and things. But you understand if they belong to Jesus Christ, they have a home in eternity. And you know, it took God 6 days to create the earth and everything in it. And look how beautiful it was. And some places still is for a minute. And he's been working on my home for 2,000 years. What must that look like? He's been working on your home to get it just right for you. For a long time. And if he made the earth this beautiful in all creation in 6 days, boy, oh boy, we're going home. And he says this in verse 4, and where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Thomas the twin, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Jesus made it once again perfectly clear that there is only one way to get to heaven. There is only one way. You say, I disagree with it. You can disagree all you want, but Jesus clearly spoke it out again. There's only one way to get to heaven. He is the only way. If you're going to go to heaven, you have to go through Jesus. He's the door. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you don't want Jesus, you will not have a home in eternity by choice. It's free will. Okay, knowing all that now, we'll continue on. Jesus says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and you have seen him. Jesus is trying to help them understand, trying to help them grasp this. These are things that are above their pay grade level, just like mine and yours. These are things about eternity, and we've never even seen it yet. We can't grasp eternity, and he's teaching us eternal principles here and eternal teachings. He's talking about the unity between he and the Father. He tells his disciples, I'll paraphrase it, if you truly know who I really am, if you can grasp who I really am, you would also have known the Father as well. If you realize I am the Son of God, then you should know the Father also. Jesus reveals the Father to us. We couldn't know God if Jesus didn't explain him to us and show it. He's showing it. So Jesus reveals the Father to all of us if we want to know. If Jesus didn't show us the Father, we would be absolutely clueless. We couldn't know. And we're still kind of clueless because we can't see him physically ourselves yet. Jesus reveals the Father to us. And what he's telling every one of you and me and all the disciples and everybody that wants to hear it, that the Father can only be known through the Son. Jesus will show you what the Father is feeling. Jesus will show you what the Father would do if someone got angry at him. Jesus walks through this earth showing us the Father so we can comprehend, because he is eternal. He is too big to understand. He says, from now on, henceforth, from now on, you do know him because you know me and you have seen him. Now listen closely. Verse 7, that's a promise. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from now on, from henceforth, you know him and you have seen him. He's not saying this is exactly what God looks like. He's saying this is what God is all about. And he's revealing God to us. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. And this is a promise. Verse 7, the second part, is a promise to you. You know him and you've seen him. Jesus again claiming to be God in human flesh. Now you say, I don't understand. Good, I'm right with you. The disciples are still saying the thing. They're going to ask, Philip's going to say, what? Start over. And I do. It's okay. I'm glad Philip did it, because I would have, and I'd rather just have Philip be laughed at. But I'm not sure I get this, Lord. I don't know. I don't get it. Let me read it to you again. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Now, there are two Greek words that John commonly uses translated to know. You do know him, right? There are two words commonly used, oida and gnosko. I could say to you, I know the President of the United States. His name is whatever his name is, or her name is what, right? So I'm using the word know, but you have to comprehend what I'm saying. In the Greek, it's easier. John will commonly use two words, oida and gnosko. Oida means to know, as in to have a knowledge. So I can say this. I know that the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain. Why? Because the song taught me. And I read it in a book. I don't have personal experiential knowledge, but I know it. You know the size of the moon. If you don't, you can look it up and you go, well, I know the size of the moon. But all that means is you got something in your head that's sort of helping you grasp, right? That's what the word oido means. It means to know, as in having knowledge about. So I know the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain. So do you now, because you heard it. But I only know it because I read the book or saw the movie or sang the song. Not because I've actually experienced the rain in Spain. How many of you have experienced the rain in Spain? I actually have, wrote to Spain. But you see, if you've never seen the Grand Canyon and stood there at the top and looked one straight mile down to the bottom, and it looks like it's forever down there, you can just say, I know that the Grand Canyon is deep. But when you stand on that ledge and you look down and you are there, you know it a whole different way. Get the point? OIDA is simply a knowledge. You believe in God? People say, yeah, I believe God. I think he might be a spaceman. He might be some kind of creature. He might be whoever you call, right? You heard people say that. I believe in God. Who is he? Well, his name is Frank and he lives on 3rd Street, you know, and you, okay, that's your God, okay, right? You know it here, OIDA. The other word that he commonly uses is gnosko. It means to know something experientially. I have been in the rain in Spain. And so now I know how it can be. Not just a head knowledge, but actually a true experience, a knowing, a heart knowledge. To have a deeper understanding, more of a relationship with a subject or maybe a person, a deeper intimacy. Here, the word Jesus used is gnosko. You know, I've told you I'm the Son of God. You believe me? Sure. I just don't exactly know what that means. Now, you need to really know who I am. Now, you know experientially. You realize that I am the Son of God. And you start to learn more about that. What does that mean? Get it? You know, there's a verse that many Christians quote that Paul wrote, and it was Spirit-inspired, Spirit-breathed. And Paul uses the word gnosko. That's a deeper level than OIDA. I know some geography. I know the president, the vice president. You could say, well, I know who they are. I know where they work. I know the White House. I know. But it's just because you know it here. You've never personally experienced. You know, so that's a lot of times Christians kind of get clever with one another and they'll say, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And you go, yes. And they'll look at you and go, does he know you? In other words, is it intimate? You could say, I know the president, but do you know him? No, never met him, never talked to him. You can say, I know the mayor of the city. Have you, personally? No, I did see him once at a parade. Right? You see the difference in knowing? Jesus is talking gnosko. Here's what Paul says. Paul is talking about that deep level, gnosko. And this is what he wrote. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Get it? I know Jesus and I belong to him, but I want to know him deeper, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to be a part of it, intimate. Jesus says it. That uses the word. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, from henceforth, you know him experientially, and you have seen him. He says to his disciples, they should realize, and they should begin to realize, and they are beginning to realize, that to know the Lord Jesus was to know the Father as well. And to see the Lord Jesus was to see the Father as well. Now, don't get carried away here, as some believers do. We all have the tendency. So let me say this. This verse is not teaching that God and the Lord Jesus are the same person. There are three distinct persons in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are all God. They're one what and three whos, three in one. There are three distinct persons in the Godhead, but there is only one God. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that he is the exact expression of the Father. You know, some would say this. I sure would like to know what the Father wants me to do. You ever pray? Lord, what do you want me to do? I'd like to know what the Father wants me to do in a situation that I'm in. And you know what the Father says? Open your Bible and watch Jesus. Jesus is the exact expression of the Father. He's not saying this is exactly what he looks like. He's saying this is exactly what the Father says. This is exactly how the Father feels. This is exactly what the Father does. And so the Father is teaching us through Jesus, love those who don't love you. Pray for those who persecute you and show kindness to them. Doesn't God bless the non-believer along with the believer every day? When it rains in my house, it rains on my neighbor's house. And their tomatoes grow too. And I'm born again and they're not. Unfair. Their tomatoes are bigger too. Get it? He's teaching us something. He's the exact expression of the Father. I wish I knew what the Father would want me to do in a situation like this. Look to Jesus. Watch him in this situation. What exactly does God the Father teach us on this? He teaches us this. Listen to Jesus and learn through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and you will begin to grow, right? Remember what God spoke out loud from heaven? This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. He's telling you what I'm saying. He is the exact, complete expression of God. That's what he's telling them. He's not trying to say, well, God looks like, you know, has a beard and God has long hair and God has really, you know, big feet. So it's a mistake to try and draw pictures of him, isn't it? Jesus Christ is showing them the Father. This is how he feels. This is what he would say here. This is what he is saying here. This is how he works. He is full of grace. Did Jesus turn anybody away ever? No. A couple of times it looked like he was gonna, and he didn't because he was letting them show that they were serious about it. Remember? A couple of times people spoke to him and he acted like he didn't hear him. He just kept on doing something. But he was right there teaching them and showing them. And we learn about our God. I pray that you are reading your Bible and that I'm reading mine. And I pray that you stay in the Word of God. It's easy to get out of the Word of God. You're pretty sure you got 3 or 4 or 5 scriptures memorized. They work for all occasions, and you don't really go back in there anymore. And you need to stay in the Word. I need to stay in the Word. We all need to stay in the Word. So let's go to verse 8. Philip said to him, you see, he doesn't understand. I love Philip. Thank you for speaking up, Philip, or I would have had to. Philip saith unto Jesus, he says, Lord, show us the Father and it will suffice us. In American, show us, just let us see God. That'd be plenty for me. I think we'd all be satisfied at that point. We don't know what you're talking about. We don't get it. We don't understand. Show us the Father and we're good. It'll make sense then. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say then, show us the Father? Believe thou that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He is doing the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else, if nothing else, in other words, believe me for the very works' sake. You saw me raise people from the dead. You saw me give sight to the blind. If you can't grasp it in any other way, look at the works alone, proving the power of God is how I'm doing this. You see, we all want to see God, don't we? I mean, people say, I believe if he showed up in my garage, you know, you'd freak out. And then you'd tell everybody and they would put you in a hospital. They'd say you're crazy because the world just mocks that kind of stuff. You think you'd just be so calm. God walked in and said, I'm God. You go, totally cool, dude. Sit down. I got some questions. Now, that's not how you would act at all. You'd be right on your face. Philip now speaks up, and let me paraphrase. Lord, I am not understanding anything. Now, that's good to say to God sometime. Don't you say that to him? Okay, I just read this verse, Lord, and I read it 3 times, and I got to tell you, it makes no sense to me. I don't understand. God's not mad. Tell him the truth. I'm just not understanding. Lord, just show us the Father, and that would be enough for each one of us. He wants to see God. And the Lord God says, no man shall see God and live. Human flesh cannot look upon God. His glory is so bright. We can't even look at the sun. You try it sometime. Well, you know, when does it come out? August? You try it. You cannot look at it. You can't do it. And God is billions of times brighter than the sun. His glory alone. Just show us the Father. That'd be enough for us. What he's saying is, I don't get it now, but I think if I just saw God, it would all make sense to me. Just show us the Father. Then we'll understand everything. Let us see him. Now, what he's saying is, I want to physically see God. And many people today say the same thing. You believe in God? Yeah. Then show me. Show me God. If I could see him, I believe. No, you wouldn't. You'd think that you were delusional, or you'd think that the breakfast that you had something bad in it, or you'd start making excuses. It's our nature. Look what Jesus does. Jesus does not get angry, but he does correct Philip. Listen to his language. Jesus, I don't get it. I love you, and I believe you're the Son of God, but I don't understand what you're saying. Just let us see the Father, and that'd be good enough. That would work for me. And then Jesus patiently corrects Philip. Listen to the language. Philip, you've been with me a long time. You've been with me so long. Philip was one of the first disciples. Remember, about the second day of Jesus' ministry, or the third, Philip is right there at the start, 3.5 years, 24/7, day and night for 3.5 years. He says, Philip, you've been with me so long. And Philip wasn't grasping the fact that Jesus has been showing him the Father. He just doesn't get it. Jesus is the exact expression of the Father. He's saying, Philip, you don't know me yet. You've been with me this long, so long, and you don't understand. See, he's correcting him. He's not rebuking him or saying, well, you make me sick. You know, what are you doing in this upper room? Get out of here. That's how Christians treat Christians, but that's not the way Jesus treats any of us. He just says, Bob, come on. You've been walking quite a while now. Now look and listen, grasp this. Peter, Philip, you don't get it. When we look at Jesus, when we watch Jesus, we are seeing the exact expression of the Lord God Almighty, our Father in heaven. What would our Father do if someone mocked him? We watch Jesus be mocked, and he lets them. He doesn't stop them, and he lets them do it. What would our Father do if some knucklehead spit right in his face? I know what he would do. Jesus just looked at him. You know, that's just that's to shame someone when you spit in their face. That's just to cause embarrassment and shame. And Jesus let them do that to him. Our God is an awesome God. He's calm. You're not going to make him stand up on that throne. I know some of you have a picture of him. He's old. Got this long beard. He's got bony fingers. He's leaning over the banister of heaven, pointing at you guys. If you, earth, don't straighten up. That's the picture that people have of God. But did you watch Jesus do that? Never. Jesus invites everyone. I want you, you come. Anybody that's tired, that's sick and tired, come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll take you right in. I'll give you living water. Out of your belly shall gush, pour rivers of living water that will flow out to others. Come to me. So Philip, just like the others don't understand either. It's just Philip spoke up out loud. Thank you, Philip. Believe that I am in the Father, Philip. Just believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is a radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.